John, the fourth chapter, this is when Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman near Jacob's, said the parcel of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph, Jacob's well was there. But I want to read verse 10. It says, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up in everlasting life. I'm sorry, I'm not being very loud. So I want us to look at these verses here just a moment. What do you feel like he's saying there in that 13th verse? Yeah.
Piquing her interest?
Huh?
Piquing her interest?
Piquing her interest? Yes. I think he did that.
He's trying to get a deep message across to her.
Okay. So what's he saying in that verse?
Little water, y'all get thirsty again.
Okay. Literal water. We're still going to be thirsty. Is it just water? Or can we...
Good things are temporary. Or good things are temporary. Whereas spiritual things are eternal.
Yes. So can we put that in a temporal sense? That everything in this life, every physical thing within itself cannot really satisfy? I believe that's what this verse is saying. It said, you drink of this water. In other words, you just drink of the things that this life has to offer. And I believe we recognize that when we look out in the world today. We find people striving for this and that. And there's something still down inside that's not fulfilled. I believe that's what that is saying. Whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. Sometimes we may have soul thirst and we don't really, might not recognize it. Maybe we're, you know, reaching out for something in the future or something better. Sometimes I don't feel like people always really know what the real thirst is. And maybe sometimes we don't know either. Maybe sometimes we can be reaching out and maybe not really recognizing what our real thirst is. But Jesus said in 14, he said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, this verse is open for discussion.
How do you... I was thinking of the song, Fill My Cup, Lord.
Yes.
Well, we know he's got the water, but yet we are... How does it even say it? Come and quench this thirsting in my soul. We still... Don't we still feel the thirst for God after we know... After we have had that living water? So how does that go together?
Well, first let me ask you, how do you know that he's got the... The living water. You started off by that. You said, we know that he's got the living water. How do you know that?
Well, he said in another place, if you will do my doctrine, you'll know whether what I'm saying is right or not. So it's because I've tasted it, I guess.
Yeah. You've tasted of the Lord, and so that's how... And I... You know, sometimes this is a little bit kind of hard to understand because we are thirsty. We do get thirsty on our spiritual journey, but we recognize the source that... hopefully we recognize that He is the only one. But I think even sometimes as children of God... We can be reaching out for different things, trying to quench the thirst in our heart and our spirit for God. But I think having a spiritual thirst, a spiritual hunger is healthy.
Yes.
You know, it's there's something there that's reaching out in our heart after God, wanting to know God. Wanting that contact with the Lord, that's a healthy thing. It's a good thing.
Scripture says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good."
Okay, taste and see. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So that's what my personal thought is, that it's not that we don't ever get thirsty, but it's like we should recognize that really He is the only one that can satisfy the most important part of us. And that's our spirit. And I firmly believe that if we're drinking spiritually of Christ, we're partaking of Him, I believe the natural things are so much better. I don't know how to express it, but when the Spirit is being fulfilled, the natural is easy to fulfill. But if the Spirit is not being fulfilled, the natural will never fulfill the Spirit. It will never satisfy within itself. But if we can get satisfied in Christ, with Christ and our relationship with Him, and then everything else, and we've seen that, you know, when people get saved, how their outlook changes, how things seem brighter and seem better. So another thought I thought also on this was we're not always on a spiritual high, a spiritual mountaintop. You know, like Jesus took the disciples up there and they saw the transfiguration. That was a spiritual high. And they said, "Lord, let us make 3 tabernacles." You know, it moved them. They were ready to do something. They they saw something that they partook of something there. But our spiritual life is not always going to be on the mountaintop. Sometimes we're down in the valley, but that doesn't necessarily mean that God is not with us and God is not helping us. One of the things that's an encouragement to me is to know the covenant that God wants to enter into. You know, it's like a marriage relationship. For better or for worse. Sickness and in health. You know, that's our covenant with God is, and He enters in with us. He said He'd never leave us or forsake us. So He'll be there to fulfill His covenant with us as long as we're receiving and accepting of His covenant, and we want that covenant working. Another verse I wanted to get, but this woman had, I believe it says in verse 17, it says, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saidst thou truly." So, you know, there's something I believe in every God has put. We're spiritual beings. We're a temporal being, and yet we're a spiritual being also. And I believe every person has that spiritual thirst, even though they don't know that God can satisfy it, that the Lord can satisfy it. I believe every person has that thirst and that hunger. I wonder if what kind of look we would get if we said that to somebody. You know, I know where some living water's at. I know where some water is that will quench the thirst and the hunger of your inner man. And I believe the Lord does have that. I wanted to get another scripture in John the 7th chapter. I believe it is. And verse 37. "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." So Jesus gave us, and this is an open invitation to all of us when we get thirsty to God, if we'll come to Him and put into Him and seek Him, that He can quench that thirst in our heart, in our spirit. He can give us things that will satisfy us and help us. I don't know exactly, does anyone here know the quote that he's quoting from? There's quite a few different scriptures that talk about water in the Old Testament, but I don't know if I really found the one that, because it says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And we might get verse 39 with that. It says, "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." So he's speaking about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is likened unto a well, a water. I thought about in the Old Testament, Didn't they have some wells that they had to redig? I believe the enemy had filled up the wells, and I believe we have an enemy too that's wanting to fill the wells up, our well, to keep us from getting nourishment and the life that we need. You know, water is just a, I don't know, it's like 70% of our bodies is made up of water.
Water is necessary for the body.
Oh, yes. Very necessary for the body.
That's why medical personnel get real nervous if somebody gets dehydrated.
Yes.
That's very dangerous.
Yes. I've been dehydrated a few times, and it's not fun. Severe headache. Rod and I, one time, we were deer hunting in Western Oregon. I think that was the first time I got dehydrated, because I didn't know. But I went a big part of the day. Him and I kind of separated during the day, and then he was cooking supper, and at first it smelled so good. And then all of a sudden, I got a headache. I got nauseous, and that smell that smelled so good started making me sick. And I got so sick that night. I was throwing up, hallucinating. Rod said I was hallucinating and saying things out of my head. But that was all looking, I didn't know it right at the time, but looking back, I got dehydrated. That's what happened. So the enemy does, he tries to fill our well up. He tries to hinder that flow from us.
When I was expecting one time, I think it was with David, I didn't know I was dehydrated, but I thought I was going into labor because I was having regular contractions. I mean, regular. So, it was way too early. And I went in and it was because I was dehydrated. I don't remember how many liters of stuff they gave me, but I mean, that was setting off a pattern that shouldn't have happened.
So you didn't really realize you were dehydrated. Can that happen to us spiritually?
Yes.
We get dehydrated spiritually, and sometimes we really don't realize what's happening. There was different scripture references. Has anybody found the scripture about the out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water?
All the references in my margin, you know, they'll tell you to go someplace, but it does never say about the belly. It just says something else.
There's one in Psalms, Isaiah, and Joel, but I don't know if they say anything about the belly.
No, I don't think they do. You want to read that one in Psalms? You have that?
They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life, and thy light shall we see light.
Okay.
Does he mean the scripture? Out of the belly, out of the word?
I think it's just our innermost being. I think the belly is just a figure of speech. the Holy Spirit flowing through our lives. You know, Revelation talks about the river starting under the throne of God and coming down and flowing through us and to other people, flowing through us out to other people, and that's what we desire, that our life would. And you think about what's in this water, you know, when we read, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, The other day we were driving in the country a little bit, and I noticed these little creeks. We haven't had rain. It's been so dry here. But I've looked in these little creeks, and there's water. I mean, just these little things, and the cows are going down. They were going down in there getting a drink. There's little streams and things that still have water, which is really surprising to me. But it kind of lets us know, too, that God will provide a place for us, even in drought. In a time of drought, you think about Elijah. They hadn't had any rain for 3.5 years. I think that about shut us down. No rain for 3.5 years. That about shut. I think that would get everyone's attention.
Yeah.
But the Lord, there was a little brook that still had water. And Elijah. And I believe we live in a time of spiritual drought. But I believe the Lord will have little brooks. He'll have little places for us to be nourished and strengthened by. But if we do get thirsty, that invitation is open to us. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I had another little thought I wanted to share. In conjunction with this, the Scripture First Corinthians 15:44 talks about there being a natural body and there being a spiritual body. And I believe the Lord can provide help sustain both. Can the Spirit can we just live off the Spirit? We can't, can we? I thought about that right in that one chapter. It was right next to where we was reading in 4. Jesus said, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." And "I have meat to eat that you know not of." So he didn't eat. The Samaritan woman went into the town and they were getting ready to come back out. And he was going to probably share the Word of God with them. So we recognize that Christ in His life, the Spirit definitely had control. He was filled with the Spirit. The Spirit was first with Him. His natural body was second. But there came a point where you did have to eat. So there's a natural body, there's a spiritual body. Both of them have things that need to be needs. Both of them have needs, I'll put it that way, that need to be met.
There has to be repetitive nourishment.
Yes.
Both spiritually and physically.
Yes.
In fact, Jesus acknowledged that when he told his disciples to seek first the kingdom of God. He said, "For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things."
Yes, yes.
So you can't get along without him. You can't survive this side of the resurrection.
Yes.
Well, the body is important because it's with our body that we can do things.
Yes.
And perform things. When a person lays down their body, their spirit can go to paradise, but it's not able to. God has to minister to all of it needs until the resurrection that a new body would be given.
Yes. And that's another thing. You know, Jesus mentioned, he said, You do err, not knowing the scriptures of the power of God to the Sadducees. He says they're not, they don't marry in heaven, they're not given in marriage, but they're like the angels. So our new body is not going to have the needs that this body has.
So what about when Jesus, after the resurrection, he ate bread and fish and honey?
Yeah, but
it was the first fruits of the resurrection. He had a body.
Yeah. In what now?
He was the first fruits of the resurrection, and he had a body.
Uh huh. But do you think that that body is going to be sustained by temporal food?
Maybe it's just for pleasure.
Maybe the spiritual body will have different spiritual needs, you know, but I don't think it's going to be like the body we have now.
Well, the Revelation speaks something out of it. I just feel not or a point about the tree of life. I'll give you the right to eat the tree of life.
Yes. But when you read in that Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, when it's talking about the natural body and the spiritual body, it's talking about the natural body being corruptible, being weak. But the spiritual body is a glorified body. It's not going to be a corruptible, something that's going to be exposed to disease, exposed to...
Subject to deterioration.
Yes, subject to deterioration.
Or cold and heat.
Huh?
Or cold and heat.
Or cold and heat. Yes. I believe it's going to be a glorified body, but now we've got a natural body, and I believe the Lord wants us to do the best we can by that. You know, He wants us to recognize, and He wants to meet the needs of, and He recognizes that the natural body has needs, like the scripture you mentioned, that seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. But Jesus said, in heaven, they'll be like the angels. They're not married or given in marriage, so there's going to be a different... there's not the need like there is here.
Well, for one thing, there's no debt in heaven. So there's no need to reproduce new generations. Because the existing ones are going to last forever.
I never thought of that.
You know,
you're right.
On planet Earth, in the physical realm, I mean, if there was new generations being born on a regular basis, humans would become extinct.
Yes, they'd cut off, wouldn't it?
Oh, I found
out
there myself. If you're filled with God's Holy Spirit, you're filled up, and the earth that you need, you don't need as much. Because He said be contented.
Yes.
With food and raiment.
Yes.
I think it is. So when you are filled up with God's Holy Spirit, all you long for is being more like Christ.
Yes.
Being more like Him. And the earth with things just have to fade away.
To some degree.
It fades away. You're just contented more.
Yeah.
What you have.
Yes.
You're not all bottled up and worried about all the folly and the friends and show that the world has.
Yes.
You're contented with the lowly things of satisfied wherever God has put you, and you're satisfied with whatever He's placed on your table to eat and wear.
Yes, yes. That makes me think of that verse of song, which you just said, was that I've no thirsting for life's pleasures,
yes,
nor adorning rich and gay, for I've found a richer treasure, one that fadeth not away. So that's true, that, you know, when the soul is satisfied, then it doesn't take really a whole lot to help us temporarily But we still have to deal with this body. We still have to, we've got to sleep. I mean, as much as, you know, we can be inspired, but still, you're going to have to get some rest sometime. You're going to have to drink. You're going to have to eat, sleep, and for the ongoing part.
What was your original question?
What's that?
What was your original question?
Original question? On those verses that we started with?
I thought you asked a question about, can we be so full of the Spirit that we don't need?
Yes.
What was that?
Well, basically, I'm just saying that there's different teachings that I've heard. I don't know of anybody, but it's like it was a denial of the natural needs of the body. Because it wasn't, and I don't really want to say what it is, but there's just been some teachings in different circles that denied the natural appetites of the body.
Standing for me?
Huh?
Standing for me?
No. No, I'm not. I guess that could be one. No, I'm not thinking of that one. But it's okay.
I was going to say that Jesus said one, well, I guess it's when he was resisting the devil, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God.
Yes.
And then one time he said, you know, man ate angels' food, you know, in the wilderness. And he said, that wasn't angels' food. I'm the bread of heaven.
Yes.
But yet it's a...
same place, maybe on different lines, but it said afterwards, 40 days afterwards, he was hungry.
Yes.
So he well in the spirit, and yet he was hungry too.
Yes.
Well, let's put it this way. Well, as I say, I don't want to be rich. And point blank, that's what I'm setting my goal for. He made there. When I got saved, all that paid away.
Yes.
I'm not interested in being rich.
Yeah.
I'm interested in getting rich in the Lord, and I still got to make a little money to pay the bills, but, you know, it's in a point. You know, my desire was after one thing when I was unsaved, and after another one.
You were thirsty, huh? But after being satisfied, well, I wanted to be a professional baseball player. Thought that's what my sights were.
Mm-hmm.
But the same thing. Lord changes that desire.
And there was another time when Jesus told his disciples to come apart and rest.
Yes.
So, I mean, they were busy working for the Lord, but their natural body needed a break.
Yes.
Well, I said maybe your spiritual body, your mind needs a break sometimes from the relentless stress of even maybe the spiritual body.
Yes. Yeah, I believe the Lord told him that, didn't he? He said, come aside and rest for a while. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of wear and tear in this life.
Well, I know one thing. We could sure run our camp meetings and other meetings a whole lot cheaper if it wasn't for all the needs and bodies. You stop and put it. Every campground, every place where the saints meet, sleeping accommodations, you got to have dining accommodations, you got to have restrooms and all that kind of stuff. And that costs tens of thousands of dollars.
It's kind of the same, you know, when they do military operations.
Yeah.
You know, the effort it takes to get thousands of men fed and bathroom accommodations, and it's a big thing.
Well, I thought about Brother Bob, that Russia's sitting over there with 100,000 men, and the United States, so you better not touch Ukraine. But it takes a lot of money to take care of, you know, what they're doing. How long they're going to sit there, I don't know, but it takes a lot of money to do that.
Yes, yes it does. I saw it. I don't know if this is quite related, but I saw a deal on my phone the other day that it showed a picture and it said, "This is why women live longer than men." And it had this guy on the second floor balcony and he had this letter stretched up over it. You know, it was a very precarious position. So this is why women live longer than men. I don't know. Lord, help us to be wise with... you know, we do have limitations as people. And I think, you know, the older we get, the more limitations come upon us. But sometimes in our brain, you know, maybe it's more men. I don't know. We're still 35 or 40. And we're not. And we're not.
Well,
so we've got to make adjustments.
We've had ministers that have had a nervous breakdown. And it wasn't because they were anything spiritually wrong with them. They were just overloaded in the body, broke down on the strain.
Yeah. That's a very, very real thing.
Lord's not going to let that happen to you, but it has happened.
Yeah. And it will happen again if we don't watch it and guard against it. It can happen to us. I mean, we're not exempt from just because we're living for the Lord. We don't have this. Now, don't get me wrong. The Lord blesses us and helps us, but we still have to use knowledge and things to help us. I don't know if I was close to a nervous breakdown that one time, but I've mentioned it before. I was under a lot of stress. I was trying to pastor. We'd bought a house to fix up. I was doing install work. We had a rental house. I was doing all that stuff. And I don't know if I was close to a nervous breakdown, but Leah definitely sensed something was wrong. And we took a camping trip. We got away. I didn't know how. When she first mentioned, I said, Are you kidding me? We had bills. We had bills to take care of. We were under financial stress. But we went, and when we got there, I just sat down in the chair. I was just emotionally, mentally exhausted. And I actually literally felt like these springs were loosening up inside of me as I sat there. It was just like, poing. And it was just like tension was being released. As I sat there and watched my children. My children started taking care of everything. I didn't do nothing. I just sat there and watched them. Some of them started getting supper ready. Some of them started putting up the tent, getting things situated. And by the end of 3 days, just that diversion, and I don't know, being together. I got dehydrated on that trip too. And we had Sasha and Anna, some of our foster children. Oh, at a different time?
Same place.
Anyway, I threw up. And she thought that Bob didn't like those chips or something. She made comment to the chips. But anyway, when we came back, I just felt so renewed. My problems were still there. I still had all those things to deal with that I had before. But my mind and my spirit, I was ready. I was ready to go after it again. And that only took 3 days. I mean, I think we were only there 3 days. And I went back a whole different mindset and perspective. And those little things I feel like are a big help to us if we can recognize. And sometimes the Lord may have to do that with us, come aside for a little while. He may have to shut us down. Another, because you get into those ruts and routines, and you just go. And pretty soon we lose our spiritual discernment. We lose our, what's really happening and around us. And I'm just thankful today the Lord has things for the spiritual man and for the... But the spiritual, it helps the physical go a lot further, but it's not a total replacement. It's not a total replacement. You can't just go, even though you're filled with the Spirit, it doesn't override the needs that the natural man has all the time. We've got to take time for that. Anyone else have any more thoughts or comments?
Well, the word balance comes back to me. Things have to be in balance.
Yes.
If you have a piece of rotating mechanical equipment that's running at high speed, if it's out of balance, something's going to break if you leave it running like that very long.
Yes.
And that might be a disaster, especially if it's like a jet engine or something like that. And I think the same thing applies to physical needs versus spiritual needs and so forth. Things have to be in balance.
Yes.
Even God recognized in the beginning that the human body wasn't created to work 7 days a week.
Yes.
That wasn't a part of the plan.
I know one time I saw an older couple. They took on this huge remodeling project. And they were up in years. And I think it took a real toll on their lives. And I don't know what their thought going into it was, but it just seemed like it was a big place for one thing, but there was just so much to do. And they were up in years already. So, Lord, help us to know how to balance and navigate and recognize. I feel like it's important for us to recognize our limitations. My grandpa Bliss, he passed away with a heart attack. But he went out and dug in the summer, tried to dig post holes when the ground was hard, dry. And was it his time to go? He went. But I don't know. If he could have waited till we had more rain to soften the ground. I mean, I think he probably was still at an age where he could probably dig, but it being so hard, I feel like it brought on his heart attack. So I feel like the Lord has given us some of these things to that one verse in Ecclesiastes talk about a man's lifespan, and it says if by reason of strength it be fourscore, it's soon cut off. So I think I've said this before, I don't know if the Lord has an exact date for us to die. Well, I think the Lord can take us out of here whenever He wants to. I know that. But I do also know that He's given us a will. He's given us choices. And the Proverbs makes it very clear that unwise choices can cut a person's life short, lifespan short.
Like cigarettes and drugs.
Yes. And I think there are probably things that we could do that would not be wise for us that could cut our life short. So anyway, food for thought.
The scripture that Brother Carl quoted is actually saying that God has a definite date, so much as it's saying that human beings are not immortal.
Right.
And they are going to expire if the Lord doesn't return first.
Yes.
I like to say that there's only two things certain, and that's death and taxes. He's going to die someday, so that's an appointment, but maybe it's not an official day. I always was a little disappointed. The way I remember it, when Brother Chuck was recovering, I thought from... Didn't he have a heart attack and he was recovering? And they say he took a shower, and that is what sent him off, because it was too much of a shock on his recovering body. Does anybody remember that?
Yes.
Well, am I telling it correctly?
Pretty
close. And I was thinking, well, maybe if he had a bath, he would have lived a little longer. But I don't know.
Well, mark it down, I've learned in working with people that have heart problems that there's something about showering does something to them, and Sister Marcia had it happen to her, Brother Chuck PM, and there's been others I've watched, and I told them, I said, don't do that. I don't know what it is, but it had, I don't know if it's an extra too much on the body with the heart having problems, I don't know. I've seen it throw people down, and I tell you too, just Marcia did, but backed her up.
Mm-hmm. So the change in temperature, did it say?
The temperature change?
Yeah.
Is kind of a shock. So we've got a physical body and a spiritual body. And the Lord wants to help us take care of both.
Well, I don't know where the scripture is, but he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust.
Yes.
So God, sometimes I think with our spiritual side wants to push our body and think, come on, you can endure a little more. And yet, maybe we're at a point where we really need to stop. And that's hard to know sometimes. You want to feel guilty if you feel like you have to take a break.
And I see the enemy working that both ways. Pushing or pulling. The enemy can do that, working that.
It's hard to make those adjustments too when you get older.
What's that?
It's hard to make adjustments when you get older for your body a lot of times. You had to learn it the hard way.
I know my grandmother, she wasn't about to give up driving. And she wouldn't let me drive. I don't know why. But I remember coming from her house, we turned on Willow, and she turned, made a big old wide turn. And it was like I come to the realization that everybody's just looking out for her. They probably knew her car. But some people will not give up driving.
My mother was 70 years old, and she was working for a mentally handicapped places and with some children, little babies. And she was on the job, and she had a mini stroke. And, you know, we've been telling her, you need to stop working, you need to stop working. She didn't want to. Well, this happened on the job. And she had it take off, you know. I come down there to kind of help take care of her. The day after I got there, before I got up in the morning, she was in the kitchen on her hands and knees scrubbing the floor. And I was so put out with her. I thought, I'm just going to go back home. But she always pushed until she couldn't push anymore. And I wish you hadn't, but that's just her personality.
Well, Lord, help us know how to adjust. I know it's not easy to change or to even come to the recognition in our own mind that I can't do this no more.
That's the problem with me.
Yeah.
I'm getting old enough now, I'm recognizing, hey, girl, you can't do what you used to do. Brother Stover. Remember Brother Stover? Or do you know him?
I knew Sister Stover. He passed just, I think, right before I got saved.
All right. He pastored Guthrie way back there in the late 60s. I think it was in the late 50s. Anyway, I heard for years that Guthrie had given Brother Stover a nervous breakdown. Well, I'd heard over and over and over. When I started pastoring there, the elder congregation told me, said, we want to give you the rest of the story. Said we wasn't want to give him a nervous breakdown. Said he was trying to pastor congregations all over the country because of all of his work. And he said it got to be too much. He was too old to do it. And they said, we said, Brother Darrell, we weren't the guilty one. I thought, well, probably they've got it. I've got Sister Francis telling me that and others, Sister Francis, Sister Murphy, all of just different ones. Yeah. We're not the guilty ones.
Brother James Bell told Harry one time that he said, I hope I'll know when to step back, you know, and not present a problem just because I can't let go.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I feel the same way.
Me too.
Well, he's not at that point. I'm just saying, I guess maybe he was thinking of some older people that maybe, you know, really, like, maybe they shouldn't have been getting in the pulpit anymore because it was, obviously, they were struggling because of their age.
Yes.
Is that, you know what I'm talking about?
I've seen that. So. Well, thank you all for your participation. Any other closing thoughts?
One thing Sister Marcia mentioned, talking about Jesus, you know, protecting the food after his resurrection.
Uh-huh.
She, I don't remember, she said it here, but she felt like the food would be 100% useful. We wouldn't have any waste. I think is what she meant, was saying, that we could eat, and you know, you would just use a percentage of it. So the thought is, if in heaven we can enjoy eating because it just tastes good, not that we specifically have to have it, other than, I know they talk about the tree of life, but eating for that, that's food for the spirit.
And it mentions the river of life, too.
Yes.
We have to get in the river.
Well, apparently there will be no need for rest for the celestial body because there's no night there.
Won't have to go to sleep. We spend a lot of our hours sleeping, don't we? Well, thank you all for your participation.